Kekelori.
All right. Quickly, Allah's Mishnah Aleph. I mean, Parak Aleph, Mishnah Yud Aleph, Mishnah 11. Avtalion Oimer, Chachomim. Avtalion is giving some advice to the Chachomim, to the rabbis. He's always very, be very careful with your words. Shema Techoibu Choevas Golos. It's a very interesting Mishnah. When you read it and you translate it, it doesn't seem to make much sense. You can't really understand it almost. Well, if you just read it and translate it, but we'll get into it. Shema Techoibu, be careful with your words. Shema Techoibu Choevas Golos. Maybe you're going to be obligated to go into exile. V'siglu L'mkoi Ma'imram. You're going to go into exile into a place which has evil waters. And that means the yishtu ha-talmidim habam achareichem, and then the students that come after you are going to drink of that water and they're going to die via musu. And it's the shem shemayim mischal, and it comes out that you've desecrated the name of Hashem. Okay, that's the Mishnah saying. What it means is basically be careful with your words, but all of this imagery that the Mishnah is giving as to what happens and what's going to come out from such things. We'll try to get into in the commentaries. So, Chachamim Yizhar B'Devarichem, be careful with your words. So, basically the Mishnah is just giving, again, a warning to the Chachamim, to the sages, to be very careful that your words are very clear. No heretical interpretations can be even inferred from the words that you're speaking about. The Tosfos Yontif asks, he says, you know, the Mishnah seems to be saying Chachamim, like it's directed to the sages of Klal Yisrael. Be very careful with your words. No one should, misconstrue your words. It should apply to everyone. Anyone that says something, you should speak clearly, because if not, people could start saying evil things from your words. So he gives a very simple yet powerful answer. He says that when a regular guy, you know, stomps some guy in yeshiva, starts speaking and starts telling you, you know, this is big vart or some great crazy idea that he has. So, if it sounds right, you listen to it, you accept it. If it sounds like it's crazy, it's heretical, so you just say, okay, you know, another crazy guy. But if it's some rabbi, some chush of a guy that's telling you some sort of idea, and it's not clear, and it could come out to heresy, that's where you have to be very careful. But some guys, have some people that have big, what they call big hasagas nowadays. They have huge ideas and stuff. I had a guy in Sfat that once was very into all sorts of crazy Kabbalistic ideas that he had, so he wrote it all down in this piece of paper. Apparently it was the back of like some sort of copy sheet, and he came to my Rav of Kenig in Tzfas, and he was like, gave it into paper, and he was like, and because you really understand, because the Shema is really in the Olam of Atzilus, but really it's in Atzabriya, and he was giving a whole pshat, and he was like, you see over there, because the Yud and the Yud Ke, and he was giving a whole thing, and Rav Kenig was just smiling, and he like turned over the paper and started reading the copy, so he was like, Seder, okay, you know, like, it's very nice. A lot of times guys have big things, but if it's true or not, okay. But if it's something, someone that's a real scholar, he has to be very careful, because if he starts saying things...
Historically, didn't we have a major problem with the Tzedukim?
Tzedukim, yeah.
Because of that.
Right, exactly. But if it came from the Chachamim also. As we saw a few Mishnahs ago, it's brought down that from Mishnah Gimel, where it said... you shouldn't serve Hashem in order to receive a reward. From there they said that there's no reward. They made a whole sort of interpretation of that mission, and they came out with it. We see that it comes out usually from the big people that their words are misconstrued. So now the Bar Tanura begins to explain the Mishnah as to what's really going on with the rest of the Mishnah. He says that why does it say that you have to be careful with your words, because maybe you're going to come to Galus. Why? Because in general, the Chachamim have a rabbi of a city. Maybe nowadays, not so true, you have a lot of Kira rabbis, but in those days, a person became a rabbi. He had a rabbi of a city of God-fearing Jews, and they hired him, and they paid him, and everything like that. You know, some city of people that are totally not connected to Hashem are not going to hire a rav. So, in general, in those days, when you had a rav, it meant that he was in a city with chashuv, you know, at least God-fearing people. So, if that's the case, you don't have to be so careful in your town. However, shema techoivu choives galus. Maybe, for whatever reason, the rabbi is going to end up on the road. He's going to have to go collect money somewhere for pigeon shvuyim or something like that, to free someone from prison, and he's going to end up in some place that's filled with all these people that don't have any emunah, they don't have any belief in the Torah. There he has to be very careful not to say anything that could be distorted, because then they're going to turn it into evil waters. They're going to turn it into the Torah is called water. They can turn it into Mayim Ra'im, bad water, which is basically taking the words of the Torah and distorting it. I would imagine that nowadays with the internet and with podcasts and with everything that anyone says is instantaneously YouTube everywhere in the world, that this would apply to anywhere anyone says anything nowadays.
Oh, now it's even worse because you have Christian missionaries claiming to be rabbis.
Yeah.
And they just totally distort
everything. Right.
And given they're claiming to be rabbis, people actually believe that they're rabbis.
Right, yeah. There's a whole thing in Brooklyn now to try to create a place to get rid of them. But yeah, it's very confusing. So he's saying basically that's what I was saying, that nowadays, it's, like you said, this applies everywhere because you have to be very careful what you say. So therefore, therefore, you have to be very careful if the rabbi gets to go. So then it says, "V'sigul makom mayim ra'im," fine, and he's going to go to a place of bad waters where they could turn his Torah into bad water. And then the talmidim are going to come afterwards and drink from that. What does that mean? He says that for his students, for the students of the rabbi, obviously it's not such a big deal. And even for the students that are there, maybe they could see that this rabbi is saying something that's al pi Torah. But however, new students come after those people already gone, and as everyone knows, the broken telephone, it becomes a little bit more and more and more away from the truth. And those new guys, new kids that are learning the Torah that was passed on from a few generations ago, they begin to get everything more and more distorted. And from that, it could prove fatal, which the Bar Tanura says means that it could destroy people. In the end, that could create, like what you said, total sects of deviant Judaism, and which basically you have to be very careful. So now, going back on the Mishnah a little deeper, Shema Tachayv Uchayv Ezgal, it says you have to be very careful, maybe you shouldn't be obligated to go into Galus. So the Chidah, the Sephardi master, so to speak, he says, he asks a question. He says, why does it say Tachayv Uchayv Ezgal? It's like a double Lashon. It says you might be obligated to go into an obligation of Galus. Why doesn't it say a guy goes to Galus? Sometimes a person goes to Galus. Why say obligated? So he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos 119. It says that Yerushalayim was only destroyed because of people that degraded Talmidei Chachamim. If they degraded Talmidei Chachamim, because of that, it was destroyed. And like Nachman says many times, if we see that Yerushalayim is not rebuilt, then all of these things that it was destroyed for are continuous. Because if we would fix those things, then Yerushalayim would have been rebuilt already. So if Yerushalayim wasn't rebuilt, that means because there's, again, people degrading Talmidei Chachamim in some fashion or another, that is causing such a pagam in Yerushalayim that it's not being built, it's not being rebuilt. So therefore, the Mishnah is going like this. It's a very interesting way he's looking at the Mishnah. He says, "Shema tachayv uchayv as galus." He says, maybe you're going to be obligated to go to Galus. Why would you be obligated to go to Galus? Because basically, is mourning the Talmidei Chachamim. The continuation of Galus is being degrading Talmidei Chachamim. So the way to get rid of Galus is to not degrade Talmidei Chachamim. So basically, the Mishnah is telling Talmidei Chachamim, listen, you people, you Talmidei Chachamim, have a big responsibility on your shoulders that people shouldn't make fun of you. You could look at it in two ways. You could look at it telling the people, stop making fun of Talmidei Chachamim. That'll help very much, I don't know. A guy's making fun of Talmidei Chachamim, it's not going to help much, tell him, stop. But if you look at it in the other sense, if you look at it in the sense that it's telling the Talmidei Chachamim themselves, stop causing people to make fun of Talmidei Chachamim, so then what is it telling Talmidei Chachamim? It's telling them, be very careful to make sure that your actions and the way you go is normal. Meaning, you don't have to go and do things very extreme and in an abnormal fashion, and those things end up creating a situation where people say, oh, look at these rabbis, they're a bunch of kooks, a bunch of crazy people. If you act in a normal way, if the rabbis act in a normal way, that'll just cause more people to have more and more respect for them, which in the end will prevent Choyvas Galus, with the obligation for Galus, and will bring a Kiddush Hashem, and will bring the Geula even closer and closer.
I have a question on that. Given that, quote, the normal society is Hellenic, we just celebrated Hanukkah, and they're going lower and lower and lower, especially in Galut. how can the Ravs have a normal, quote, attitude when everything's sinking down into quicksand and muck?
I hear you. I don't think that it means necessarily that they should, you know, they should wear Armani jeans and stuff like that, you know, because they have to be cool and they have to be with it.
In their speeches and in their attitudes, right?
In their mannerisms also.
Tempted to bend towards society to make people happy or something.
No, but not necessarily that they have to do that at all. The word Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem always. I heard this from Rav Sierkovsky, the Rav that I go to Shiurim from many times, said that it's not so much, you know, everyone thinks I have to act perfect and all the goyim think that I'm great, even if it means that I have to bend in this thing and bend in that thing. No, it doesn't mean like that. It means Kiddush Hashem means doing what Hashem wants you to do. You know, if you're in the middle of 42nd Street and you take a drink, you say Shahata with Kavana, Baruch Ata Hashem. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't mean that you have to like hide in a corner and, you know, sip in there, you know. Whatever it is, the point is that you could act, you should act the way Hashem wants you to. However, there's a way of doing it that's just na'im and pleasant. The ways of the Torah are pleasant. When they're done in a pleasant way, then you could see if you go, you see higher her, you have Reb Shalom, and also all these people, when he walks into a room, like even if you're not a religious guy, you'll feel pleasant around them. You'll feel like, wow, here's someone that's smiling, that's pleasant, that looks, you know, nice, you know. And, I don't know, I don't want to give any examples, but there are other people that, you know, for whatever reason they might have, you'd feel unpleasant, you'd feel uncomfortable around, and that necessarily, not necessarily it means that you have to lower your standards, but it just means that your mannerisms and things like that could be a little bit more on the side of normal, in that sense. It is a hard balance to strike, but there is such a thing. And also, the thing is that it doesn't necessarily mean that every person that sees you has to think that you're normal. You know, a lot of times when people, there's a famous story with the Boston Arello. I might have said this already. He came to a speech in some college or something, and everyone was sitting there. They were like, "Who's this Rebbe, this Hasidic guy?" You know. So he gets up there. It's a famous thing, and he starts turning these into microphones. And everyone's like, oh, what is he talking about? And he goes, "I'm just joking. I speak English better than all of you guys here. You guys didn't even learn English the way I learned English." You know, because he knew fluent English, the Boston Rebbe. The point is that when people see you, they see a guy that looks totally different than them. They see a guy that looks religious, a rabbi, a peer. They'll think, no matter what you tell them about the guy, they'll think that he's a quack, he's a weirdo, he's different. But if and when you just speak to them a little bit, then you see right away that that's not the case. So maybe that would be an answer also, that it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone has to look at them on the street and say, "Wow, what a cool rabbi." In the end, it might mean that when they have interactions with people, the person should come out from that interaction and say, "Wow, that rabbi is really pleasant. Like he's a good person to be with. He's normal." Versus, "Whoa, you know, sometimes like I don't want to have anything to do with those people." So that's the Chida's way of saying that to rebuild the Yerushalayim for the Chachamim themselves, they should try to be more careful to act in ways that promote the love of Judaism. The Siglu Mekayim Ra'im Rabim VeYamusu, and the next part of the Mishnah says that they're going to be banished to places of evil waters and they could die. So the Tiferes Yisrael Yachin explains in the Mishnah, he explains it with beautiful imagery, what these things mean. He speaks about the wine. The wine in ancient times, and if you learn the Gemara, was super, super strong. It was so strong that you couldn't drink it. You had to dilute it with some water. That was the only way you could drink it, according to the Gemara, and I'm sure maybe history backs it up, I don't even know. But apparently that's the way the wine was in those days. So he says that, what does it mean, wine that's so strong? The Torah is compared also to wine. He says the Torah, without any explanations, you just start reading, like you said, Christians, you know, they'll take the Bible and they'll start reading it. Without any explanations, the Torah is like undiluted wine. It's undrinkable. You can't deal with it. It's too powerful. It's too concentrated. But if you take it with a little water, so then water would be the explanations of the Torah. I mean, if you start to pour in explanations and you start to say, what does this mean? It says you should put a tefillin on your arm and between your eyes. It doesn't mean right between your eyes. It means a little bit over here. And you start to explain exactly what it means, where it means, what the whole thing is. That's pouring the water of the explanations of the Torah to dilute the Torah's wine and to make it all drinkable. But without that, it would be basically Mayim Ram. Mayim Ram would be, he says, bad water. Bad water would be bad interpretations of the Torah, which many people put into the Torah, and that causes spiritual and maybe even physical death. Reb Simcha Bunim of Pshitta, he says that the Yamusu, that in general we would think the Yamusu doesn't mean necessarily physical death. It means that if people come out with heretical interpretations of the Torah, it'll lead to their spiritual death, you know, in this world, the next world. But Reb Simcha Bunim says no. He says it means physical death. It means a person can mamish cause physical death. If a person learns the wrong things, and these things could somehow cause physical death. He says that would explain, he doesn't explain why necessarily, but he says that would explain the Nimsa Shem Shemayim Mischala, that the last words of the Mishnah said that it would come out that the name of heaven is desecrated. Why? Because it's basically showing us that every single Jew in Klal Yisrael, you think, yeah, what's one Jew? You know, it's not a big deal. Every Jew is so vital to Hashem, to the whole scheme of the world, that any single Jew that would be missing would create a huge vacuum, a huge halal. Halal is like a vacuum, a vacated space, a halal apanoi. Any yid that gets lost from Klal Yisrael is a vacuum, is a halal. That's what basically what the Mishnah was saying, Nitzah Shem Shemayim Mitzchalel, that it creates a huge void in Klal Yisrael. Just one Jew dying, missing, is going to create a huge thing. Therefore, Yizhar B'd Reichem, he says that Yizhar B'd Reichem is not just a nice thing for the Chachamim to do, but be very, very, very careful in your words, he's telling the sages, because every single Jew we want to remain in this world. And he himself, Reb Simcha Bunim, he often spoke about the intense effects that the words of anyone, Befrat Tzadik, has on his surroundings. He says it's just like medicine. He says that just like a doctor, you have to be very careful giving a medication, and you're like, take the bottle of Tylenol, you know. Obviously, you're not going to tell that every single thing in the medicine, or, you know, take a drop. You know, obviously, everything has to be balanced, the exact right thing. So too, he says, the words of the tzaddikim have to be very, very, very balanced, very, very calculated, in it that it produces good effects rather than bad effects. And this goes for even saying deep and amazing Torahs. You teach a guy, Reb Nachman has a Torah somewhere where he says that if you teach a person Torah that he's not roy, you can't receive, it's mamish like terrible things, basically. I think he says it's like basically giving semen to, you know, Zerah to a place which you can't be received. Basically, it's
say that again?
It's basically giving Zerah into a place where you can't receive.
What's Zerah?
Zerah is semen. You know, like seed,
okay.
The human seed. So if a man gives it over to the wife and it's right to make a child out of it, so then it's Kedusha. But if a man gives off seed for nothing, so then that's called Zera Levatala. It's one of the worst things in the Torah. So to a person when he's giving over Torah, if the Torah is able to be received, that's like a unity of the man, of the tzaddik, giving over to the woman who can receive it. And from that creates new life in the person himself, that it creates new life in him. Mashenkin, if the tzaddik gives over words that the person that's listening to it just can't receive, so it just goes to waste, it goes to the side, and that's already like wasting the words of the Torah. Okay, some sort of imagery that the Nachman gives to speak about that. The words of the tzaddik are so powerful that we know in the Gemara it says that tzaddik goyzer v'akadosh baruch hu mekayim. Chazal say that a tzaddik can say something and it changes the reality of the world. Hashem will listen to him and change what's going to be. You know, people go to brachas for tzaddikim, everyone, you know, people make fun of them. What are you going for a bracha? You know, what is it? He's going to change Hashem's mind. Gemara says, Moed Katan, 16, says, yeah, tzaddik goes over Hashem Mekayim. The tzaddik could say things and Hashem could listen. Rav Shlomo Brevda, is that tzaddik who just passed away a year or two ago, he was a Talmud from Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, who was the Mashgiach here in Mir, I think. So he once asked Rav Chatzkel, famous Mashgiach, for advice in the matter. So Rav Chatzkel told, Rav Chatzkel told the Talmud, this is what Rav Brevda told over, that the Talmud once went to Rav Chatzkel and he asked him advice for something, and Rav Chatzkel told him, do this and this and that, but whatever you do, it should be with masel, it should be with just bracha. Talmud was like, okay. And he left, and he was like puzzled, like, did he mean I shouldn't do it? So he went to the one or the other Talmidim, and he said, what did Rav Chatzkel mean when he said this? And he repeated what happened with Rav Chatzkel. So he said, no, Rav Chatzkel tells that to everyone. He says, why? Because when he was younger, Rav Chatzkel gave someone advice what to do, and the guy didn't listen, and disastrous outcome came from it. Because basically, Rav Chatzkel was so kadosh that when he told someone to do something, it was like basically saying, like, Gezar Din, you have to do this. Like, this is what Hashem wants you to do. And when the guy didn't do it, it created terrible things. So Rav Chatzkel saw that happened, so he felt so bad, and he realized how powerful his own words could be. So after that, he said every single piece of advice that he gave to someone, he would end up, and whatever you do, it should be just with bracha, and everything should be all right. Because he knew that some people obviously wouldn't necessarily listen to his words, and he wanted the outcome to be good. We see then the power of the tzaddikim, of their words, in the sense of their Torah, in the sense of their brachos, in the sense of what the advice that they give, partially because of all of this, you know, the effects of a tzaddik, of their words. Simcha Bunim of Shisla himself always found it very difficult to speak in front of large crowds. He always shied away. He would speak to a few people, but he would basically never speak in front of crowds. Nothing. The Talmud from the Rebbe, on the other hand, he would speak at Chal Shittis every week almost, and sometimes a large gathering, 50, 100 people, whatever it was, would come to hear him speak, and he never shied away. But one at a time, his Talmidim came, and they found him in a room before, crying. So they asked him, Rebbe, you know, what's going on? Why are you crying so much? He said, I'm about to speak in front of, I don't know, 100 people. He said, there are some people there that are mamish broken. They feel like they're the worst people in the world, and mamish Hashem hates them. They're just totally broken. So for them, I need to tell them, Hashem loves every year. It doesn't matter what you've done right now, start again. It doesn't make a difference who you are. Just look at the little points of good, and Hashem loves you. And he said, but there are also people sitting there in the very same room listening to the very same speech that are mamish feel like, wow. What a mincha I just had. God loves me so much. I'm like so high. I learned like 3 hours this afternoon. And like, they're feeling like they're just like the holiest of the holy. And he says, but those people, I have to tell them, my friend, you haven't begun to serve Hashem. You don't even know who Hashem is. You have to really yearn higher and higher and higher. You haven't begun. He says, how? I'm speaking to both of these people at the same time. How am I supposed to do that? And therefore he was crying because of the difficulty in speaking to both of those people and trying to teach them opposing things, so to speak. Okay, really, in the end, it's all the same thing. There's he loves every single person. He wants it to continuously grow. But in the sense of giving chizik versus, like, what they call in Breslov, chizik versus his iris. Chizik is, you know, mechazik a person in the hard times. His iris is to lift him up to go higher. In the high times, to do that, Reb Nosson found it very difficult. And because of this, and maybe a lot of other reasons, the tzaddikim in these generations find it difficult to speak to the words of truth. And Reb Nosson says that's why sometimes the tzaddikim, they don't speak words of Torah directly even. A lot of times nowadays, they hide it. They hide it in stories. As the Rebbe once came into the Beis Medrash after years and years of teachings, the whole Likutei Maran practically, and he said, I see that these words are not having an effect on you anymore, so now I'm going to start saying stories. And he started saying fantabulously amazing stories, and the tales of Reb Nachman, the 13 tales, which are hidden in them, the deepest secrets of Kabbalah, the deepest secrets of the world. And basically he said that by doing that, he was basically just injecting it straight into us. So you just read these stories and you get intense connection to Hashem injected straight into you just by reading them, not in the Hebrew, not only in the Hebrew or in the Yiddish, but even in English. He said, just reading these stories has the ability to open up women that haven't had children, do all sorts of amazing things. But the point of it is that the words of the tzaddikim sometimes are, like what Nachman said, that they weren't having an effect, or they were being misconstrued, or anything like that. They started saying stories, and these stories themselves are very, very powerful to awaken a person to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The last part of the Mishnah, the last words of the Mishnah, is Nitzah Shem Shemayim Mischal, and thus the name of heaven will be desecrated. So the Lechem Asher learns that there's a lesson for life in this. What is Shemayim? Shemayim, in the beginning of the Bereishis, when it's first mentioned, I think, it says in Rashi, what is Shemayim? It's Eish Umayim. It's a construct, a word that's made up of two words, of fire and water. What does that mean? That means that it represents peace amongst opposites. So you have two things, fire and water, they can't exist together, and yet, in Shemayim, the concept of Shemayim, they're both right there together. So he says, if so, there's a pasuk in Mishlei which says that talking too much can lead to sin. It leads to sin. So he says, therefore, the Lechem Asher is learning our Mishnah very interestingly. He's zorbed v'reichem. Be very careful with your words. Why? Because if you talk too much, talk, comes to Lashon Hara and all sorts of fights and all sorts of bickering and all sorts of complaining. So talking too much can cause all of these things of fights. And therefore, to preserve peace, don't talk so much. He's zorbed v'reichem. And then, v'nimtza shem shemayim tzchalel, it comes out, if you do the opposite of this, then shem shemayim will be mishalel, by basically Shemayim, meaning Eish Shemayim, that people will create peace and harmony by not over-speaking too much, speaking just the right amount. Ezus Hashem, Hashem Zakenu, Shkoyach.
Good.